Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s.
From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Recording Library of West Texas presents audio-described Christmas movies. Today, we bring you the 1983 film, A Christmas Story, rated PG, starring Peter Billingsley, Melinda Dillon, and Darren McGavin.
A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a green planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents a film from the works of Gene Shepard. A Christmas Story. More titles. Starring Melinda Dillon as Mother, Darren McGavin as the Old Man, and Gene Shepard as Ralphie as an adult. Now, on a tree-lined street, snow blankets the gabled roof of a boxy, mustard-colored house. A row of similar two-story houses stretches down the road. Two young boys run out onto the front porch, then onto the sidewalk.
There it is. My house. At good old Cleveland Street. How could I ever forget it? There I am, with that dumb round face and that stupid stocking cap. Oh, but no matter. Christmas was on its way. Lovely, glorious, beautiful Christmas, around which the entire kid year revolved.
They join up with two other boys, then race down the street. More titles. Peter Billingsley as Ralphie. Nighttime. Our view moves down a floodlit skyscraper to a city square below. Pedestrians stroll past fir trees adorned with Christmas lights. An electric sign over a store reads, Higbee's.
Downtown Holman was prepared for its yearly bacchanalia of peace on earth and goodwill to men.
A Salvation Army band plays as shoppers bustle along sidewalks under colorful lights. By a storefront display of wood cabinet radios, a man drops money into a Santa's bucket. Carolers sing near a Christmas tree. The four boys run past a trolley car to a street corner. Shiny sedans with rounded, sloping hoods drive past under strings of holiday lights. A policeman directs traffic at the busy intersection. Across the street, a crowd gathers in front of a large window display. The boys squeeze through and stare slack-jawed at the abundance of toys inside.
Higbee's corner window was traditionally a high water mark of the pre-Christmas season. First-nighters, packed earmuff to earmuff, jostled in wonderment before a golden, tinkling display of mechanized, electronic joy.
One of the boys wears a leather pilot's helmet. He points to a red Baron plane hanging from the ceiling. An electric train rolls into a tunnel in a mountain covered by fake snow. Another train zips past a wooden sled. Nearby, Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls fill two radio flyer wagons. Outside, the smiling boys press against the window. The smallest one mushes his nose against the glass. They watch a tin wind-up tank patrolling a Lincoln log fort guarded by tiny metal soldiers. Another one of the boys, who wears thick glasses, inches through the crowd to gaze at a rack of Daisy air rifles.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts, the Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle. And there he is, Red Ryder himself. In his hand was the knurled stock of as coolly deadly-looking a piece of weaponry as ever I had laid eyes on.
The boy stares at a cutout of a cartoon cowboy.
For weeks, I had been scheming to get my mitts on one of these fearsome blue steel beauties. My fevered brain seethed with the effort of trying to come up with the infinitely subtle devices necessary to implant the Red Ryder range model air rifle indelibly into my parents' subconscious.
Ralphie! Randy!
Now, in a bedroom, the boy with glasses pushes his little brother, Randy, away from a dresser. Randy hits the bespectacled Ralphie as he rummages through a drawer. Ralphie grabs a scarf and races toward the door. On his way out, he picks up a magazine, then runs down a hallway into another bedroom. Ralphie takes a copy of Look magazine from a nightstand and opens it to the middle, then reads an ad on the back of his own magazine. Boys, at last you can own an official Red Ryder. Ralphie neatly inserts the ad inside the Look, then places it on the bed.
Mother, grabbing for her copy of Look magazine, would find herself cleverly trapped into reading a Red Ryder sales pitch.
In the kitchen, Ralphie's dad reads a paper.
They traded Bullfrog. I don't believe it.
What's that?
For Christ's sake, the Sox traded Bullfrog, the only player they got, for Schottenhofer. Four eyes Schottenhofer, utility infielder. Got a whole lot of damn team utility infielders.
That's nice. Ralphie, I'm a double!
Ralphie runs downstairs.
Did you hear about this guy who swallowed a yo-yo?
Swallowed a yo-yo?
Yeah, on a bed. Some clodhopper down in Griffith, Indiana.
His mom cooks breakfast.
Boy, they aren't the silliest things in the newspapers.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news. That's not like a politics slot. What is the name of the Lone Ranger's nephew's horse?
Victor. His name is Victor.
How the hell did you know that?
Everybody knows that.
She gives Ralphie a plate of eggs.
Another one of your silly puzzles.
Yeah, it's another one of our silly puzzles. Could be worth $50,000.
What kind is it this time?
Name the great characters in American literature.
Victor?
Yeah?
The Lone Ranger's nephew's horse?
Meanwhile, I struggle for exactly the right BB gun hint. It had to be firm, but subtle.
Flood says he saw some grizzly bears near Pulaski's candy store.
His parents stare at him. Across the table, Randy stares too.
They looked at me as if I had lobsters crawling out of my ears. I could tell I was in imminent danger of overplaying my hand. Casually, I switched tactics.
Hey, Dad. I'll bet you never guess what I got you for Christmas.
A new furnace.
That's a good one, Dad.
My old man was one of the most feared furnace fighters in northern Indiana.
Hurry up, you're gonna be late for school.
Yeah, I'm running late already.
Round one was over. Parents won. Kids, zip. I could feel the Christmas noose beginning to tighten. Maybe what happened next was inevitable.
Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?
Horrified, I heard myself blurt it out.
I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 2-inch air range ball air rifle.
Ooh.
No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block. You'll shoot your eye out. That deadly phrase uttered many times before by hundreds of mothers was not surmountable by any means known to kiddom. But such was my mania, my desire for a Red Ryder carbine, that I immediately began to rebuild the dike.
I was just kidding. Even though Flick is getting one, I guess I'd just like some Tinker Toys.
I couldn't believe my own ears. Tinker Toys? She'd never buy it.
BB guns are dangerous. I don't want anybody shooting his eye out.
Ralphie curls his lip and looks down at the table.
Finally, would you eat? There are starving people in China.
Wrinkling his nose, Randy slops a spoonful of oatmeal into his mouth, then lets it drip onto his chin. Ralphie props his cheek in one hand.
Mothers know nothing about creeping marauders burrowing through the snow toward the kitchen, where only you and you alone stand between your tiny, huddled family and insensate evil.
Now in Ralphie's imagination, burglars invade his backyard. He charges into the kitchen and finds his family under the table.
Say, Ralphie, I just know those bad guys would be coming for us in the end.
No more, Dad. As long as I got old Blue.
Wearing a silver cowboy suit, Ralphie saunters across the room with his rifle.
What have we got here, folks?
Well, we figure he's Black Bart, Ralph.
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Rider carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. Lucky I got a compass in the stock. Well, I think I better have a look here.
Ralphie climbs up on the sink and peers out the window. In the backyard, two masked burglars slide down the roof of a shed, and two more jump over a fence. They spot Ralphie aiming his rifle at them.
Oh, no! It's all wrong! Oh, no! She's it, boys! The thing is on!
Ralphie shoots a burglar in the rear. The man falls backward off the fence. Ralphie pumps his rifle and shoots another burglar off the shed. In the kitchen.
Here's another one. Oh, he's a dead eye, Edie.
Ralphie pumps again and shoots a burglar climbing into a tree.
Okay, Ralphie. You win this time, but we'll be back.
The last burglar jumps onto a horse and rides away, shaking his fist. Ralphie spits.
Hey, you know it, Bart. What if you do come back? You'll be pushing up daisies.
Four burglars lie in a heap with X marks over their eyes.
And don't you forget it.
Well, then you saved us.
Now, back in the real kitchen, Ralphie smiles dreamily. He blinks. His dad marches into the kitchen. He fills a large pot with water.
That hot damn walls is froze up.
Some men are Baptists, others Catholics. My father was an Oldsmobile man.
Son of a bitch would freeze up in the middle of summer on the equator.
Little pitcher.
Hold it.
He turns off the faucet. His eyes scan the room. Then he looks over to a vent near the basement door. Black smoke pours through the vent.
It's a clinker! That blasted, stupid furnace, that gummit!
He marches into the basement.
Skates! Oh, for Christ's sake, open up the damper, will you? Who the hell turned it all the way down? Again!
The boy's mom nervously moves a lever on the wall from closed to open.
Hello, clerk! You blocked him!
Ralphie and Randy stare at the closed door, their mouths agape.
In the heat of battle, my father wove a tapestry of obscenity that, as far as we know, is still hanging in space over Lake Michigan.
Later, Randy sits on the floor as his mom dresses him in a snowsuit.
Oh, preparing to go to school was like getting ready for extended deep sea diving.
She wrestles a rubber boot onto his foot. She struggles to button the bulky red snowsuit over his shirt and sweater. She fits a hood backwards over his winter cap, covering his eyes. She takes it off. Behind them, Ralphie puts on his own scarf.
Come on, Mom, we're gonna be late!
Hurry, Ralph.
My kid brother looked like a tick about to pop.
What?
She wraps a long scarf around Randy's face.
What is it?
Rolling her eyes, she takes off the scarf.
What is it?
I can't put my arms out!
Randy's puffy arms stick out at his sides. His mom pushes them down, but they pop back up. She holds them down, but they spring back into place.
Put your arms down when you get to school.
She wraps the long blue scarf back around his face, leaving only a small gap for his eyes and nose. Outside, thick black smoke pours out of the chimney. The boy's mom scoots them out the door. Ralphie helps his brother down the steps, then runs up the snowy sidewalk to the boy with the leather pilot's helmet.
What are you doing? What does it look like I'm doing, picking goobers?
Another boy.
Hey, listen, smartass. I asked my old man about sticking your tongue to metal light poles in winter, and he says it'll freeze right to the pole, just like I told you.
Ah, baloney. What would your old man know about anything?
He knows because he once saw a guy stick his tongue to a railroad track on a bet. And the fire department had to come to get the guy's tongue off the track. Because he couldn't get it off.
Come on, guys, clean up!
Behind them, Randy bumbles past other kids.
Oh, God, clean up!
A boy bumps him.
Hey, kid!
Randy falls into the snow. He rolls from side to side.
I can't get off! Ah!
Ralphie and Flick laugh at him.
I can't get off, Ralphie!
Come on, Flick, wait up for me.
Ralphie helps his snow-covered little brother to his feet.
Hey, come on, get up, sit up!
Now, in a classroom, Flick hands out fake teeth to the other students. As a plump woman carrying books bustles into the room, they hide the teeth.
All right, everyone, take your seats, please.
The kids walk to their desks. With her back to the class, the teacher writes on the blackboard.
Good morning, class.
Miss Shields turns around to find a room full of kids with large, crooked buck teeth. Smiling, Ralphie and the third boy, Schwartz, put their heads on their desks. Miss Shields motions for the kids to bring their fake teeth to the front of the class. One by one, they line up and put them into her outstretched hand. Stifling a smile, Miss Shields opens a desk drawer filled with toys. Chattering teeth, a rubber mouse, a yo-yo, a slingshot. She adds the fake teeth to her collection.
Open your books to page 32. As you'll remember, Silas Marner.
Later, in the schoolyard, an American flag waves atop a metal pole. Several kids stand by the pole watching Flick and Schwartz argue.
You're full of beans, and so's your old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Huh, are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare you.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
Pushing Schwartz aside, Flick steps up to the pole and takes a deep breath. He sticks out his tongue.
Well, go on, smartass, and do it.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
He touches his tongue to the pole.
This is nuts.
He tries to pull away, but his tongue sticks to the metal surface.
Duck.
The kids stare at him in horror. Schwartz peers at Flick's tongue. Schwartz stays with Flick as Ralphie and the other kids run toward the school. Flick calls out to Ralphie.
Come in, come back! Come back! Don't leave me! Come back!
The bell rang!
What are you gonna do?
I don't know, the bell rang! Yeah.
With a shrug, Schwartz leaves with Ralphie.
Come back!
Flick tries to pull away. Now, in class.
Where's Flick? Has anyone seen Flick?
Flick? Flick who?
He was at recess, wasn't he? Ralphie, do you know where Flick is?
Ralphie shakes his head no, and Miss Shields purses her lips.
I said, has anyone seen Flick?
A girl raises her hand.
Yes, Esther Jane.
The girl points outside. Miss Shields looks out the window. Her eyes widen.
Oh, my God!
As the kids run to the window behind their teacher, Ralphie and Schwartz stay in their seats. Outside, still stuck, Flick flails his arms. Miss Shields rushes out of the room. Ralphie looks up at the ceiling, and Schwartz gazes down at his desk. Later, the kids watch from the classroom as a fire truck arrives.
Holy cow, it's a fire department!
Oh, no.
As the firemen run to help Flick, a police car joins the fire truck.
Wow, it's the cops!
Ralphie plops his head on his desk. Outside, Miss Shields clutches her hands as the men gather around the flagpole. The students crowd the window. A fireman leans purposefully toward Flick's tongue. The young boy stumbles backward. As they make their way toward the school, Miss Shields puts her arm around Flick and cups her hand under his mouth. Later, the stern-faced teacher enters the classroom and escorts Flick to his seat. He walks with his head bowed, his tongue wrapped in gauze. Flick sits, and Miss Shields slowly paces back up the aisle with her hands behind her back. She stops beside Schwartz and Ralphie and turns around.
Now, I know that some of you put Flick up to this. But he has refused to say who. But those who did it know their blame. And I'm sure that the guilt you feel is far worse than any punishment you might receive.
She eyes the two boys.
Now, don't you feel terrible? Don't you feel remorse for what you have done? Well, that's all I'm going to say about poor Flick.
She turns and the boys hold back a laugh.
Adults love to say things like that, but kids know better. We knew darn well it was always better not to get caught.
Now, boys and girls, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to write a theme. What I want for Christmas.
Aha! The clouds lifted.
And I want it handed in tomorrow morning.
I saw a faint gleam of light at the other end of the black cave of doom. I knew that when Miss Shields read my magnificent, eloquent theme, that she would sympathize with my plight and everything would work out somehow.
Later, a figure wearing boots and blue jeans creeps behind the tall slats of a shoddy wooden fence. Ralphie, Flick, and Schwartz walk down an adjacent alleyway. Randy waddles behind them.
Boy, did you see how it stuck?
Did it hurt, Flick?
Nah, I didn't touch the thing. It just cut me a scar.
You sure weren't balling?
I never balled.
Baloney.
The boys freeze, then slowly turn toward the fence. Their mouths drop open as an older, beady-eyed boy in a coonskin cap peeks out at them, flashing his braces as he laughs.
Scott Farkas!
Scott Farkas! What a rotten name! We were trapped. There he stood, between us and the alley. Scott Farkas staring out at us with his yellow eyes. He had yellow eyes, so help me God, yellow eyes.
Scott pushes Randy. The three friends run to a shed at the end of the alley and start to climb on top. A boy pops up from a hole in the roof. The kid chases them off the shed and back into the alley.
Grover Gill! Farkas's crummy little toady. Mean, rotten, his lips curled over his green teeth. Randy lay there like a slug. It was his only defense.
Scott grabs Schwartz, twisting his arm behind his back. Ralphie and Flick watch helplessly, then lift Randy off the ground.
In our world, you were either a bully, a toady, or one of a nameless rabble of victims.
All right. Who's next?
The bullies watch the boys run away. Covered in snow, Randy lurches behind the others in his snowsuit. Scott and Grover exchange playful punches. The jabbing grows serious, and Scott hits Grover in the shoulder with a heavy blow.
Ow. Man!
In the jungles of Kidton, the mind switches gears rapidly. Weeks ago, I had sent away from my little orphan Annie's secret society decoder pin.
Ralphie checks the mail.
Oh, skunked again. No matter. Today I had serious work to do.
In his bedroom.
What I want for Christmas. What I want for Christmas is a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass and a stock and a thing which tells time.
Wow, that's great.
I think that everybody should have a Red Ryder BB gun. They're very good for Christmas. I don't think that a football is a very good Christmas present.
Oh, rarely had the words poured from my penny pencil with such feverish fluidity.
Outside, Ralphie's dad drives up in a black sedan.
I won!
A pack of dogs runs toward him.
Get out of here, you!
Ralphie climbs onto his desk, opens the window, and looks down at his dad.
Aha,
the Bumpus Hounds, da-da-da-da-da-da! Our hillbilly neighbors, the Bumpuses, had at least 785 smelly hound dogs. And they ignored every other human being on earth but my old man.
His dad chases the dogs out of the house.
I won!
Ralphie and his mom race into the living room.
I won! A major prize! I won! Look at that! A Western Union telegram! Tonight is coming tonight! Hot damn tonight!
What does this mean here?
But it means it's coming tonight! See, I called Ernie McCloskey down at the freight depot. He said that the telegram was late, the prize was already there, he was going to send it on tonight! Come on, haven't you fellas had me?
He sticks his butt outside, then shuts the door.
You know, maybe it'll be one of those Spanish adobe houses down
the corner. The dog's floppy ear is caught in the door. Ralphie's dad opens the door.
Search your right, you smelly buggers! Or it could be a bowling alley. You know, for a guy who'll tear a hot bun a bowling alley.
How are they going to deliver a bowling alley here tonight?
Well, they could send the deed, for crap's sake. I mean, I didn't expect they were going to send an old damn bowling alley. Yeah, well, how about eating? I'm starving to death. Getting rich is hard work, kid. Come on.
As they leave, Ralphie's mom sighs. Now, at the kitchen table, Randy makes a sculpture out of his mashed potatoes.
Every family has a kid who won't eat. My kid brother had not eaten voluntarily in over 3 years.
Oh, Randy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Ah, gee.
Starving people would be happy to have that.
Can I have some more red cabbage?
The boy's mom starts to take a bite of food, then puts down her fork and goes to the stove. Their dad looks at Randy.
You stop playing with your food, or I'll give you something to cry about. You better stop fooling around with that and eat it, or you'll be sorry.
Their mom sits down again and raises her fork to her mouth.
Oh, can I please have some more?
My mother had not had a hot meal for herself in 15 years.
She takes Ralphie's plate.
Loaf, meatloaf, double beetloaf. I hate meatloaf.
All right, I'll get that kid to eat. Where's my screwdriver and my plumber's helper? I'll open up his mouth and I'll shove it in.
Randy.
My mother was more subtle.
How do the little piggies go?
That's right.
Oik, oik. Now, show me how the piggies eat. This is your trough. Show me how the piggies eat.
Be a good boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Randy buries his face in his plate of food. He grins at his mom, his mouth and nose covered in mashed potatoes. She smiles as her son digs in for more. Ralphie watches and scrunches his face. Their father looks up from his newspaper. He winces, then blocks his view with the paper.
Mommy's little piggy!
The boy's parents look up and glance around the room. Randy slowly lifts his head from his plate. Their dad folds his paper and drops it ceremoniously on the table.
It is here.
The family jumps up at the door.
Yeah.
You Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
I don't know.
What's in it?
The man shrugs.
Here, bring it in, huh?
Okay, boys, haul that on in here.
Look at Charles. Hey, bring it right on in, right here.
A wooden crate as big as an outhouse rolls closer. It's marked, this end up, fragile.
Okay, bring it right on in, fellas. That's it. There we go.
A little more. That's it.
With a handcart, two men roll the crate inside.
Watch the lady.
They slide it off the cart, then tilt it over on its side.
Thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas. Get the cool boy and a hammer, Ralphie.
Ralphie's dad reads the crate.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Well, I think that says fragile, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Ralphie brings the tools.
Go.
His dad hammers a crowbar under the lid.
Jeez, really. Did a job on this, you know?
He struggles to pry it open. The lid pops loose, and Ralphie's dad hands him the tools. He takes off the lid, and the family gathers around, gazing at mounds of packing straw inside.
There could be anything in there.
Maybe they forgot.
It's in there. It's gotta be in there.
Ralphie's dad climbs into the crate and tosses out the straw.
Oh boy. Would you look at that?
He pulls out a life-sized, curvaceous leg dressed in a fishnet stocking and a black high-heel pump.
What is this? It's a leg.
But what is it?
It's a leg, you know, like in a statue.
Statue?
Yeah, statue.
Ralphie rubs it.
Yeah, statue.
Ralphie?
My mother was trying to insinuate herself between us and the statue.
Holy smoke, would you? Do you know what this is? This is a lamp.
It was indeed a lamp.
He puts a shade on the leg.
What a great lamp.
No.
Hold it. Here.
The old man's eyes boggled.
Oh, wow.
Overcome by art.
And I know just the place for it. Right in the middle of our front room window.
As he takes the lamp to the front room, his wife clenches her fists. She hurries after him. Ralphie's dad sets the lamp on a stand. Kneeling by an outlet overloaded with plugs, he hunts for a free socket. Sparks shoot from the outlet and the lights flicker on and off.
Honey?
No, it's all right.
He sorts through the tangled cords in the outlet.
This goes to the radio. It's just one too many.
Ralphie's dad removes one of the cords and plugs in the lamp.
Let's see.
The snap of a few sparks, a quick whiff of ozone, and the lamp blazed forth in unparalleled glory.
Oh, look at that! Will you look at that? Isn't that glorious? It's indescribably beautiful. It reminds me of the 4th of July. Turn off all the lights. I want to see what it looks like from the street.
I'll go get the dining room. Couldn't we talk this over?
As Ralphie runs out, his mom looks at Randy.
Honey.
She wipes his face with his bib. Ralphie turns off the lights and shuffles back to the front room. Outside, his dad hurries across the front lawn as his family watches from the window. He runs across the street and turns to look at the illuminated leg.
Move it a little bit to the right. That way.
Ralphie just caresses the leg, and his mom knocks him aside. As she moves the statuesque lamp, people gather on the sidewalk.
Right there, that's wonderful. Hey, Park, what is that? Don't bother me now, sweet. Can't say I'm busy. Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award. A major award? Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp. Well, it is a lamp, you nincompoop, but it's a major award. I want it. Damn hell, you say you want it? Yeah. Mind power, sweet, mind power.
The entire neighborhood was turned on.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
It could be seen up and down Cleveland Street, the symbol of the old man's victory.
If he won that, it's a major award. Hey,
inside.
Isn't it about time for somebody's favorite radio program?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, it was 6:45. Only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
Ralphie turns on the radio.
Who's that little chatterbox?
He lies on his stomach beside Randy, who sits cross-legged on the floor.
Whom do you see? It's Little Orphan Annie.
Kids, it's Little Orphan Annie time. Brought to you by Rich Chocolatey Ovaltine.
I can still taste it.
Their mom turns off the lamp.
Hey, you turned the light off!
Outside, their dad throws up his hands. Daytime, Scott and Grover chase Ralphie, Flick, and Schwartz down the alley. Randy trails behind. At school, the kids put their homework on the teacher's desk.
I knew I was handing Miss Shields a masterpiece. Maybe Miss Shields, in her ecstasy, would excuse me from theme writing for the rest of my natural life.
Ralphie stands at Miss Shields' desk. Now, in his imagination, Miss Shields grades a stack of papers.
Down the drain. A sandy cone that you don't prepare it. Oh, F. Oh, I should wish them would have to read one more. F. Ralphie.
Miss Shields rolls her eyes and opens Ralphie's folder. As her eyes scan the page, her mouth drops open. Miss Shields hugs the paper to her chest, then reads it again.
And this thing which tells time. Poetry. Sheer poetry. Brown. An A plus by Brown. Oh, happy baby.
She writes his name and grade on the board. Ralphie walks to the teacher's desk, blowing kisses to the other students. Miss Shields turns and gives him an adoring look. The kids jump up from their desks as Flick and another boy lift Ralphie and carry him around the room. Back in the real classroom, Ralphie stands at Miss Shields' desk.
Ralph!
He smiles into space.
Ralph! Ralph!
Ralphie turns toward her, startled.
Is there something you want, Ralph?
I'm just turning in my theme.
Well, you can take your seat now.
With a big grin, Ralphie nods at her.
Take your seat.
He takes a couple of steps backward, then turns to sit down. Now, in fast motion, Scott and Grover chase the boys in the opposite direction down the alley. Randy, in his layers of clothing, wobbles behind. Nighttime. Ralphie's family steps out onto their front porch. The leg lamp glows in the window.
Get in the car, get in the car.
Ralphie's mom turns back.
If we don't hurry, we're going to miss all the good trees.
Inside, she turns off the lamp.
My mother was about to make another brilliant maneuver in the legendary Battle of the Lamp. The epic struggle which followed lives in the folklore of Cleveland Street to this very day.
Don't want to waste electricity.
Don't want to waste electricity.
Come on, Ralphie, get in the car.
Now, at a roadside stand, the family ambles past dozens of Christmas trees. A salesman greets them.
You folks looking for a tree? We got 300 trees here. This is the Christmas tree emporium of the entire Midwest. Now, you ain't going to find no better tree than this here tree. This here tree is built to last. Ain't no needles coming off this here tree.
The man shakes it. A ring of needles covers the ground below.
Okay, now here's a tree. This here is a tree.
That's a little skimpy in the front.
Well, you just put it in the corner.
Haven't you got a big tree?
Yeah. Hell, this ain't no tree. Now, here's a tree. This here is a tree.
Oh, well, I see that one.
Don't you think it's a little large?
No, Christmas only comes once a year. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, well, how much?
I'll knock off $2 because I can see you're a man who knows his trees.
This isn't one of those trees that all the needles falls off, is it?
No, that's symbolsis.
The old man loved bargaining as much as an Arab trader, and he was twice as shrewd.
You know, Zudolph just found one of those brand new green plastic trees. Darn thing looks like it was made out of green pipe cleaners.
This is a very nice tree.
I'll throw in some rope and tie it to your car for you.
You got a deal.
Later in the car.
Jingle bells! Jingle all the way! Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh!
The boys lean into the front seat. On the driver's side, their dad grimaces.
Oh, our fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
There's Gummit Blah!
Their dad pulls the black sedan over to the side of the road, the Christmas tree tied to the car roof.
Uh-huh. Not again!
4 minutes! Time me!
Actually, my old man loved it. He always saw himself in the pits at the Indianapolis Speedway in the 500.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He inspects the flat tire, then opens the trunk.
My old man's spare tires were actually only tires in the academic sense. They were round. They had once been made of rubber.
He takes out a bald spare tire and a lug nut wrench inside the car.
Ralphie,
yes?
Why don't you go help your father?
Really? Can I?
Yes. Yeah. Watch the traffic there.
Okay.
It was the first time that it had been suggested that I go help my father with anything.
Putting on his gloves, Ralphie walks over to his dad.
What are you doing here?
Mom said that I should help.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, sit down here. Squat down. That's here, I'll hold this here.
He hands Ralphie a hubcap.
No, not that way. Go on, rat trap. Pull it like this, eh?
How?
Oh, like this. Here, I want to put the nuts in it.
Okay.
There we are. And we got it!
As his father works, Ralphie holds the hubcap like a bowl. His dad finishes with a flourish. His arm knocks the hubcap into the air.
There we go.
Oh, for one brief moment, I saw all the bolts silhouetted against the lights of the traffic, and then they were gone.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word, the big one. The queen mother of dirty words. The F-dash-dash-dash word.
What did you say? That's what I thought you said. The car.
Knitting his brow, Ralphie hesitates.
Go on.
It was all over. I was dead. What would it be? The guillotine, hanging, the chair, the rack, the Chinese water torture... Mere child's play compared to what surely awaited me.
Ralphie climbs into the back seat.
Everything go all right?
He slouches with his head lowered. Outside, his dad puts the flat in the trunk and looks at his watch.
Yeah.
He gets in the driver's side and tosses the flashlight into the glove compartment.
8 minutes.
Randy leans over the front seat.
You know what your son just said?
No, what?
Let's see what he said. Ready?
He whispers in her ear.
Help me!
Later, in the bathroom.
Over the years, I got to be quite a connoisseur of soap. My personal preference is for Lux, but I found Palmolive had a nice, piquant after-dinner flavor. Heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness.
A bar of red soap juts out of Ralphie's mouth.
Lifebuoy, on the other hand...
You ready to tell me?
His mother takes the soap out of his mouth.
All right. Where did you hear that word?
Now, I had heard that word at least 10 times a day from my old man. My father worked in profanity the way other artists might work in oils or clay. It was his true medium, a master. But I chickened out, and I blurted out the first name that came to mind.
Schwartz! Oh, I see.
She puts the soap back in his mouth. Marching into the hallway, she picks up the phone.
Well, Mrs. Schwartz? Yes, I'm fine. Mrs. Schwartz, do you know what Ralph just said? No. He said...
No, not that.
Yes, that. Do you know where he heard it? No, he heard it from your son.
What? Oh, what did I do, Mom? Why did you do that?
Her brow furrowed, Ralphie's mother looks at the phone, then hangs up.
Another shot of mysterious, inexorable official justice.
rinse out, and go to bed. Oh, am I glad you finished your homework this afternoon. I want you getting right into bed, and I don't want to see any lights on. You are being punished, so no comic book reading. I'm going to come in there, and if there are any lights on, don't you give me that look. You're going to get it.
Alone, Ralphie's mom leans against the bathroom doorway, holding the bar of soap. She looks at it. Hesitantly, she gives it a lick, then puts it in her mouth. Now, in bed, Ralphie cries.
3 blocks away, Schwartz was getting his. There has never been a kid who didn't believe, vaguely but insistently, that he would be stricken blind before he reached 21, and then they'd be sorry.
Now, Ralphie imagines he's blind. With a cane, he taps on the front door of his house.
Come on in, Ralph. Where you been?
Wearing dark glasses and a tattered overcoat, Ralphie walks inside.
He's carrying a cane.
What is it, Ralph? What happened?
Why, he's blind.
Blind?
Wearing fingerless gloves, Ralphie holds out a tin cup.
Is it something we did?
What brought you to this lowly stage?
Please tell us, no matter how it hurts, what did we do?
No, I can't.
Oh, please, Ralph, I must know what we did. What brought you to this?
Please.
Please? It was?
Yes. Yes.
So, poisoning. Well, I'll manage to get along. Somehow. Thanks, Mom.
I told you not to use life, boy.
Oh,
I feel awful.
As his mom leans her head against his chest, Ralphie grins at us. Now, back in bed, he smiles up at the ceiling, tears running down his cheek. Now, Scott and Grover chase Ralphie, Flick, and Schwartz past the rickety fence. A few yards back, Randy runs after them in his puffy snowsuit.
Thank you, Heather.
At school.
Thank you, Flick.
One by one, students put presents on Miss Shield's desk. The last student carries a large basket of fruit that hides his face. He plunks it on the desk and Miss Shields gapes at the arrangement. She slides the basket aside to find Ralphie's blue eyes gazing up at her through his large glasses. She looks from the fruit to Ralphie's smiling face.
Well, I just thought that you'd be getting tired of the same old stuff.
Yes, truly. A little bribe never hurts.
Well, thank you very much, Ralph.
He winks at her.
Merry Christmas.
Ralphie smiles.
Happy New Year.
He nods.
You can take your seat now, Ralph.
He winks again as he walks to his desk. Miss Shields looks at the basket of fruit and sighs. Now, Scott and Grover chase the boys in the other direction down the alley, with Randy bringing up the rear. Later, Ralphie runs down the snowy sidewalk to his house. Out front, he opens the mailbox and looks through the envelopes inside.
The weeks of drinking gallons of Ovaltine in order to get the Ovaltine inner seal to send off for my little orphan Annie's secret decoder pin was about to pay off.
Hey, Master Ralph Parker, my decoder pin!
Ralphie grins and feels the package.
All right!
He runs up the steps and onto the porch. Later, in the front room, he reads a letter.
Be it known to all and sundry that Ralph Parker is hereby appointed a member of the Little Orphan Annie Secret Circle and is entitled to all the honors and benefits occurring thereto.
Signed, Little Orphan Annie. Countersigned, Pierre André, in ink. Honors and benefits already at the age of 9.
Ralphie turns up the radio.
Come on, let's get on with it. I don't need all that jazz about smugglers and pirates.
Listen tomorrow night for the concluding adventure of the Black Pirate Ship. Now it's time for Annie's secret message for you members of the Secret Circle. Remember, kids, only members of Annie's Secret Circle can decode Annie's secret message. Remember, Annie is depending on you. Set your pins to B2. Here is the message. 12, 11,
I am
2,
in my first 8, secret meeting.
14, 11.
Ralphie writes the numbers.
16.
Oh, Pierre was in great voice tonight. 12, I could tell that tonight's message was really important.
3, 25. That's a message from Annie herself. Remember, don't tell anyone.
Upstairs, he runs into the bathroom with his decoder pin and notebook.
90 seconds later, I'm in the only room in the house where a boy of 9 could sit in privacy and decode. Aha! B! I went to the next. E! The first word is B! S, it was coming easier now. U! Oh, be sure to, what? What was little orphan Annie trying to say? Be sure to what?
Annie has got to go. Will you please come out?
All right, Ma. I'll be right out.
I was getting closer now. The tension was terrible. What was it? The fate of the planet may hang in the balance.
No, Annie's got to go. I'll be right out.
Almost there. My fingers flew. My mind was a steel trap. Every pore vibrated. It was almost clear. Yes, 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 yes.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine? A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch.
He throws down his pencil and decoder.
I went out to face the world again, wiser.
Randy shuffles into the bathroom and raises the toilet seat. Now, in the kitchen, Ralphie lifts the lid on a large pot of boiling cabbage and curls his lip. He turns to his mom.
Red cabbage?
That's for tomorrow night. You love red cabbage, Ralphie.
They look toward the basement door. Smiling and shaking her head, Ralphie's mom fills a watering can, then carries it into the front room.
What happened next was a family controversy for years.
Mundane noodle, you shut and shift a pacifier, you snort tonger, laymonger, snacker shell cocker!
Ralphie's dad appears in the basement doorway, his face smudged with soot.
What was that? What happened?
Ralphie shrugs. His dad walks into the front room.
What happened? What broke?
I don't know what happened. I was watering my plant and I broke your lamp.
Ralphie's mom kneels on the floor, holding the broken leg. Her husband stares, dazed. Slowly, he makes his way over to the lamp. He pulls off his dirty gloves, snatches the leg away from her, and cradles it in his arms.
Did you touch that?
You were always jealous of this lamp.
Jealous of a plastic lamp?
Jealous. Jealous because I won.
That's ridiculous. Jealous. Jealous of what? That is the ugliest lamp I have ever seen in my entire life!
No, it was out.
Get the glue.
We're out of glue.
Red! You use up all the glue on purpose!
The old man stood quivering with fury, stammering as he tried to come up with a real crusher. All he got out was...
Not a finger!
He grabs his hat and leaves. Later, Ralphie's dad gently repairs the broken leg. It stands in one piece in the front window. Several large tears in the fishnet stocking reveal the leg's plastic skin. He admires his work. Nearby, his wife watches him with arms crossed. Ralphie's dad takes the lampshade and delicately places it on top of the leg. The leg collapses, breaking into pieces. Ralphie's mom tries to cover her laughter. Her husband glares.
With as much dignity as he could muster, the old man gathered up the sad remains of his shattered major award. Later that night, alone in the backyard, he buried it next to the garage. Now, I could never be sure, but I thought that I heard the sound of taps being played. Gently.
At school.
Going to get my own man for Christmas? Now what?
A rose that squirts. People come to smell it, it squirts them.
I'm getting my own man a flint gun.
A flint gun!
Hanging from the monkey bars, Scott Farkas blocks their way.
She, ordinarily, if Dill so much as said hi to you, you felt great and warm inside. But mostly, he just hit you in the mouth.
I can't now, Grover. I've got to go see Monsieur.
Yeah. Hey, come here!
Come here!
Ralphie and Schwartz run away, leaving Flick behind.
Come here.
Me? Now you're Aunt Tilly. Yeah, you. Get over here.
I left Flick to certain annihilation. But BB Gun Mania knows no loyalties.
Uncle. Flick puts his arm behind his back. Scott twists it. Inside.
All right, class. I have your Christmas themes for you. I'm pleased. In general, you did very well.
Flick walks to his seat with a black eye.
However, I was disappointed in the margins.
Oh, this is it. C plus. Oh, no, it can't be.
C plus?
C plus!
Ralphie imagines Miss Shields as the Wicked Witch of the West. He reads a note at the bottom of his paper.
Oh, no. You shoot your eye out? My mother must have gotten to Miss Shields. There could be no other explanation.
You'll shoot your eye out!
Wearing a jester's suit, his mom joins the witch.
Was there no end to this conspiracy of irrational prejudice against Red Ryder and his peacemaker?
These multiplication questions were most missed in our last math test. Would you answer in unison, please?
I was surrounded by happier kids who were all going to get what they wanted for Christmas.
56.
Now, in a small junkyard, the body of a rusted-out convertible sits beside an old wooden fence with missing slats. Ralphie ducks under the fence and trudges through the gutted car. His head bowed, he drags his feet along the snow-covered ground. Suddenly, a snowball hits Ralphie in the eye. Scott and Grover sit on top of a broken-down car. Scott jumps down and paces menacingly in front of Ralphie. Ralphie's chin quivers.
Listen, jerk. When I tell you to come, you better come.
What, are you gonna cry now? Come on, cry, baby. Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
Deep in the recesses of my brain, a tiny red-hot little flame began to grow.
Staring at Scott's grimacing, freckled face, Ralphie flares his nostrils and grits his teeth. He charges and tackles Scott to the ground.
Something had happened. A fuse blew, and I had gone out of my skull.
As Ralphie wails on Scott, Grover approaches. Ralphie punches him in the stomach.
I'm coming like this!
A group of kids gathers. Ralphie sits on top of Scott and pummels him. Randy runs into the junkyard, followed by Flick and Schwartz. Frowning, Randy picks up his brother's glasses and leaves. Wide-eyed, Flick and Schwartz watch as Ralphie bloodies Scott's nose.
Open them nipples! Bang, gunk, snake, and crisp!
Come on! Ralphie,
did you hear what he said?
Holy
smokes!
I have Simps heard of people under extreme duress speaking in strange tongues. I became conscious that a steady torrent of obscenities and swearing of all kinds was pouring out of me as I screamed.
Ralphie's mom approaches. Flick motions to Ralphie. Ralphie's mom runs over to him as Randy watches.
Ralphie! Ralphie! Ralphie!
As Ralphie beats Scott's head on the ground, his mother struggles to pull him away.
Ralphie! Ralphie! Ralphie!